Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Titan Company Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. C.K. Venkataraman, Managing Director, Titan Company Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Welcome to everyone on the call from my colleagues and me at from Titan here, Taj Bangalore on this quarter four FY 2022 earnings call. Very, very satisfying quarter in a very challenging situation with COVID wave three lockdown for some weeks and the international conflicts starting late February, going all the way to the end of the year, affecting oil prices and including the price of gold and creating a lot of uncertainty in consumer sentiment. Despite all that, we ended FY 2022 on a very good note. Equally, and as importantly, our preparations for a very, very ambitious FY 2023 were also completed in that same quarter, and we prepared well enough to take a very good ambition for FY 2023 as well. I have, nothing really more to say, and I would request the questions to come in for us to answer it.
Before a question come in, Venkat, I would just like to call out few specific items related to quarter four and FY 2022 performance. Ashok Sonthalia here, and welcome to everyone to the call. It's great to be talking to you guys on this auspicious day of Akshaya Tritiya. You are all well aware that Titan has a long-standing philosophy of sharing its prosperity and success with all people in an equitable manner. This year, 2021-2022, has been exceptional for all of us in multiple ways, and our profit performance has been quite good. Therefore, an ex gratia amount of rupees 72 crore at standalone level and a total of rupees 82 crore at consolidated level have been provided for in the quarter four accounts. During the quarter, the company also came up with a voluntary retirement scheme for employees in the month of March 2022, and a charge of rupees 51 crore at standalone level and rupees 54 crore at consolidated level on this account also has been recorded in quarter four P&L as an exceptional item. Both items put together, a total charge of rupees 123 crore on a standalone has been made in P&L. Significant part of this ex gratia amount is reflected in the employee cost line item. Normalizing for the ex gratia amount, and VRS amount, like-to-like EBIT and PBT for the quarter are at 841 crore and 787 crore respectively. It's in PAT margin of 12.1% and PBT margin of 11.3%. For the full year FY 2022, PBT before ex gratia and exceptional item stood at rupees 3,054 crore. EBIT margin and PBT margin is 12.3% and 11.6% respectively. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. first question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks. My first question is on Fast Track. Fast Track is the only format wherein in FY22 there has been no store addition. In fact, there has been a net closure of 5 stores. And when I see the retail growth also, in both full year FY22 and Q4, the like-to-like and sales growth has been pretty disappointing. I understand Omicron impact in Q4, but FY22, 32% sales dip in Fast Track retail. So what is the way forward here? What has been the issue in FY22?
So this is Suparna from the Watches and Wearables division. So Avnish, the Fast Track store format has been is in the process of being reimagined, and that is why we didn't add any stores this year. We have a new store design ready, and that's been once that is fine tuned, we are going to roll out. In fact, in Q1 itself, we have seven store locations finalized and awaiting the new store design. So I think there are two parts to it. One is the revival of this Fast Track store format and bringing in a lot more experiential inputs into the store format. I think the larger point also is that for young people, online is the natural default thing, and we have seen Fast Track do very well in both our own brand e-commerce as well as in marketplace e-commerce. So therefore, the need to totally reimagine the Fast Track. In progress, and next financial year, we have a plan of opening another 10 to 12 stores in various parts of the country.
Sure, thanks. My second question is on Taneira. So sales growth of 4% in Q4. So I understand the Omicron impact, but on a base of 14 stores, for the full year, you added 6 stores, which is a big addition on that kind of a base. So this 4% growth, would you say that you are a bit disappointed with that, or is it more of Omicron? How is the model shaping up? Are you now much more confident versus, say, when you started the year?
Avnish and everyone else, I'm introducing Ambuj Narayan, who joined us as CEO of Era Business 2 months back.
Yeah, good evening and welcome to the call. Happy to be here. So yes, a bit disappointed, but when I look at the what it is, and January was rough.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but we cannot hear you clearly.
Disturbance in the call, but
maybe,
but it was largely due to Omicron. Now we are we have opened six stores last year, and there is a very good pipeline of stores that's coming up, and we are confident about Taneira and doing very well in the coming year.
Yeah, and last quick question: Titan EyePlus -4% sales value growth, so dip in Q4. So any competitive intensity increase has happened, or it's again a link to the Omicron itself? In terms of retail growth.
Hi, Avnish. This is Shoman from the eye care division. Like you said, Omicron was certainly a factor for the month of January. And in the month of March, while Titan Eye Plus channel has done sale more or less, okay, we also had to deal with some store closure. And overall for the division, we also had to do certain amount of channel correction. That's why overall figure is muted. Otherwise, we haven't seen any different kind of a competitive activity. It is just probably the combined effect of Omicron and the year-end correction that we're going to make sure the system is clean, take off from the day one of the next year.
So thanks for that. Very helpful. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Gutka from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, as I had just a couple of questions. First thing is on the loan facility, basically like Bajaj Finance provide for consumer durable, if there is a regulation restricting what do you call to provide finance for purchase of jewelry? Because lately two couple of jewelers who have filed their IPO, there they stated that there are some parties providing finance for purchase of high value state jewelry. Just wanted to know your thoughts on that. And I just wanted to know what is the contribution of Golden Harvest scheme as well as gold exchange program for the quarter.
On the first point, I think there is an issue there, because when RBI with EMI on jewelry, and I met them years back, and the whole viewpoint was finance the acquisition of monetary assets. That was the view that RBI had taken, and I guess that would apply equally to loans as well. We had a very, very vibrant EMI program that we had begun as a pilot in Bangalore in 2016, and we were planning to take it national when RBI came up with this monetary asset, not finance. On the Golden Harvest.
Hi, Ajay here. On the Golden Harvest contribution, the contribution has gone up compared to last year. It's at 18% contribution to the sale for the in the quarter, versus 15% in the previous year, same quarter. However, in FY20, in quarter 4, it was at around 20%. Due to disruptions in enrollments in the subsequent 2 years, it is still catching up. But enrollment levels are very good. In fact, Q4, we have seen very good in enrollments in quarter 4. And even in that has continued in the month of April. So going forward, I think post these 2 years of disruption, maybe this quarter it will continue to see the effect of last year disruption in Q1. But thereafter, I think we should be on a steady wicket. But overall, 18% contribution versus 15% last year.
Okay. And the contribution of gold exchange program for the quarter?
That's also been good. It was 28% versus 27% the previous year in terms of contribution.
Okay. Sir. Last question from my side on the international expansion front. I think we have opened one more store on the, I think in USA, apart from couple of stores in UAE. So what is the outlook going here? What is the guidance in the medium term? How many stores we are looking in regards to international expansion for jewelry business?
Please wait till next Friday.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
It's a conference
thanks.
In Bombay next Friday.
Okay, fine. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Sachdeva from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Sachdeva, so much for taking my question. Just a small question on the demand outlook, Venkat and Ajoy. Given the gold price surge in March was pretty precarious, but I assume February was going okay and January was somewhat impacted, but wedding season seems to be very good, and there was a hope at least that you know that demand outlook should be robust, if not disruption continuing on gold prices. So can you give us some thoughts on how April has gone, and given the base is also very benign, but how I should think about demand picture in the current outlook, as some challenges which you mentioned are still persisting?
Yeah, so I'll get Ajay and others to come in a minute. Amit, while you know the conditions in quarter four were finally not conducive to overall demand, and we also have to measure our performance from a competitive point of view, not just our growth or decline in sales. And our sense is from a competitive point of view, we continue to be strong in every category where we operate in quarter four, and therefore, blip, which is such a large external factor, you know, we don't have to think about it or worry about it, just move on. So that's sort of putting it behind us kind of thing. April has begun very well. We're very, very satisfied with the first month of the year, and we are quite planning for the target that we have set out for ourselves for the year. And on that, we're on target.
So that's very good to hear, Venkat. Sorry, Ajay, you were saying something. Please.
Just add on to that. Gold price volatility has impacted, let's say, big ticket value purchases, especially for wedding. And this is particularly true in March, just to some extent in April. Having said that, I mean, we are very, very happy with our April top line. we are expecting now that gold prices in the last at least few days, at least last 1 week, seems to have kind of moderated downwards. Perhaps people were also just waiting and holding back to, you know, see how things shape up on the gold price front. We are actually quite hopeful. In fact, we are also seeing, as you said, there are a lot of weddings. It's been quarter one with Akshay Tritiya and weddings coming after, 2 years now, 3 years actually. Last two years has been tough. So we are very positive and hopeful. And in fact, we are seeing good traction. Very happy with it.
Great. That's really good to hear. Right. So in that context, you know, I am also good to hear that Venkat mentioning that there's an ambitious target for FY23 without alluding to guidance. What, how we should read that statement?
I forgot what it means.
Yes. I mean, because given the FY22 has been at least a very good year, and are we looking at 20% kind of growth or higher? How do you, because at least there was a larger plan to go in strong double-digit growth as such structurally for jewelry, but given this, but when you say ambitious, how one should think about those numbers?
Actually, we are not giving a guidance on that for FY23, Amit. Not yet, at least.
Sure.
But, the opportunity for the company in every category it operates, where it is leader today in three businesses, but in others, picking up, but a huge headroom. So in every business, we are looking at a good growth, which together translates as a very ambitious growth for the company. And you can just sort of look back to the past about whenever we have used the word ambitious, what is the kind of figure we have talked about, and imagine the best.
Okay, understood. Perfect. No, I didn't want a guidance, to be honest. I just wanted to understand whether this confidence is coming from the good demand condition we've seen in April and continuing into whatever this week, etc. And you know.
Yes, sir. The ambition itself was set, about 10 weeks back, middle of February, when we are, even in the middle of, in fact, wave three, but looking at the opportunity that the country represents for the company. So.
Sure. That's helpful. Just a small question on BRS and a couple of exceptional items that you talked about. Well, we see also, margins and watches, etc. are very weak, So is it something to do with the disproportionately impacting watches, BRS, then other things? Or is there something to read in margins? And can you give us a bit of margin anatomy on what has happened this quarter so that we can clearly appreciate what is really gone on there?
So you are right, like watches from the manpower, and both these exceptional points are related to manpower and headcount. So watches have a high share of manpower and headcount in the business, and that is why they have to absorb higher proportion of Excretia as well as BRS, and that is reflecting in their slightly subdued margin.
Got it. And if you were to sort of exclude that, what would be the watches margin?
The watches EBIT margin for the quarter would be 6.7%, and for the year would be 6.9%.
Got it.
But you must also factor in they have not yet kind of fully recovered to pre-pandemic level. They have grown, but yeah. So there is opportunity to further improve
the nature. The nature of the category, especially if you compare it with eye care or jewelry, is the most challenging category from a consumption point of view in these times of everything, working from home included. And sure. We're hoping and expecting FY23 would be rather different.
Got it. So thanks so much, Venkat and Ajay and everyone. Thank you for so much. That's all for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Junjunwala from Red Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. What are the reasons for losses in these watches and eyewear?
Sorry?
What is the reason for losses in watches and eyewear?
Exceptional
eyewear. So, let me answer Rakesh, Ashok here. If you take out these Excretia and VRS, then watches actually in quarter four had a 42 crore of EBIT, and on a full year basis, 160 crore of EBIT. And as far as eye care is concerned, they had for the quarter 3 crore EBIT and 61 crore of EBIT for the full year. In watches, also there is one more item is sitting in their P&L in March. You know, like we have this business associate meets. Eye care. Eye care business associate meets happened in this quarter, and which also had about 10 crore of impact on their profitability.
10 crore cost?
Yeah.
A business will earn 60 crores a year.
Actually, Rakesh, you know, we've had this tradition of what is called a business associates meet, which happens.
We should get an associate to pay for it also.
This is preparing for FY23, Rakesh.
Huh?
So that is why in March, bringing everyone together for the associate plan.
It happened, used to happen once in 2 years, and the last time we did it was in June of 2019. We're doing it after 3 years. It's been a significant part of building a, you know, confidence, camaraderie, team, esprit de corps across the company system to deliver results year after year.
Where was the real this year?
Sorry?
Where was it held this year?
Where was it held?
This was at Dubai. Rakesh did show, man. It was done in Dubai.
And anyway, congrats on a fine result. And I think markets are burnt. I think we'll be in for some surprise. Anyway, congrats. And thank you for the good dividend. I thought it, I hope it could be better. Maangne mein kya jaate hai?
Correct. Dil mange more.
Dil mange more. But we have a defined policy, 1/3 or 40%, whatever.
We have a range. We have a range, 25% to 40%. And this payout translates into about 31%. And keeping the growth ambition in mind and our requirement, I thought this is a good level, which we can, you know, consistency and the good performance, everything is reflecting.
We are not doing a bonus also now for 15 years. The company's trajectory has changed completely. I can request that I will give or recommend that give bonus shares.
So, of course, we can bring that feedback and we can discuss at some point time board.
High time we do it.
Okay.
And the general market, I think our brand is endless.
Sorry, what was that, Rakesh?
Our brand is punished. All the brands are honest again. Actually, when I see the Chosbet shop, I feel great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks.
I think we got to work that lady, that man who asked. We got to work on fast track, sir. India is such a young country, and I think fast track is the most desired brand.
Yes.
Feedback noted.
We've not been able to exploit, but India is such a young country. 25% of the world are below the age of 25.
That's true. The potential is huge, and we are working on a big revival plan for fast track.
Unless you increase the range of products, you know why we don't have a deodorant. You know, we're like a brand name. We don't know deodorant. I mean, I think deodorant is the biggest market in with Titan marketing and fast-track advertising. I think we should go with deodorant, handbags, ladies' handbags.
We have a big plan on bags. On 13th, we'll talk about it.
What did you say, sir?
On the 13th, we have this investor conference in Bombay.
But I might not be able to come.
Sure. Somebody from Rare will
be
there.
Are you moving? Are you moving the conference?
No, in person.
I know it is, but I'll not. I'm not able to come in person then.
No, but
ITC Parej.
Pardon?
ITC Parej. Maratha, I think. Yeah. Piran Maratha.
Well, no, ITC Central.
Sorry. But Bombay.
No, I'm saying you're going to Zoom it?
No, in person.
No, it is in person. But
no,
it is
we are not doing.
Pardon?
We are not planning to have a parallel Zoom on that.
No, we can also. People from abroad can also identify. I request we have it here.
We will explore. Yeah.
Well, there is nothing. There is no problem in that. There is no regulation. There is no. I don't know why you are explore. Please, I'll. Anyway, congrats for a fine performance. God bless.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi team. Just two quick ones on jewelry and a bookkeeping question after that. Just if an update on the gold hallmarking, implementation, the regulation law, etc. has been around for a while. It'll be helpful on how are you finding actually on the on-the-ground implementation. Second question on jewelry to Ajay is, look, as a consumer, I've been observing, or it's my interpretation of what I see, is that there's a lot of action which, you seems to be, taking to actually make the brand younger. Basically, if you agree with the hypothesis, or no, and if yes, it'll be super helpful on what exactly you're trying to attempt here. Thank you.
Yeah, Manoj, hi, Ajay here. First one on the hallmarking. I think hallmarking as a process has kind of stabilized across the districts that were identified. They have not gone beyond that. Within those districts, also we see that there is a greater tendency because of the nature of the way hallmarking laws have been framed. It is at the point of first sale. So wherever jewelry is getting manufactured, those centers are getting loaded. Other centers are not. So in the long run, they'll have to modify it, I think, so that across the country, hallmarking can be spread out. Right now, it looks like there's a traffic jam that lands up at the bigger cities where jewelry gets made. But at a way, in a way, they are checking. They are the authorities keep coming to the stores. They keep visiting. BIS authorities are trying to ensure it is implemented well. Having said that, we have still received anecdotal feedback now in some of our stores. Hallmark jewelry, which continues to be inappropriate when we look at it in our carat meter or when we melt. But we can't say whether some of it was recently hallmarked or it might have been an older hallmark jewelry. I think a big initiative like this for such a large fragmented industry will take a little longer to stabilize. The outcome of this I can share, well, I don't know whether it's an outcome of this or it is a general outcome. We are seeing that the migration towards organized retail or towards stronger players continues, and therefore, every organized player is kind of aggressively pursuing very strong expansion plans. The other piece that I can share from a data point is that we continue to see very good traction amongst new buyers or new customers who are new to Tanishq or new to Titan as well. That indicates that there is a certain migration taking place from family jewelers, etc., simply because people want to kind of get towards a more trusted name. On the second piece, whether the brand, what is the direction of the brand? So I think the brand has always stood for a certain progressiveness and a certain modernity, yet rooted in tradition. And I can't say whether we are trying to be younger, because we are appealing to a fairly large age group, from 25 to 55, I would say. And however, what we are thinking that the brand does, it remains its outlook. And therefore, a lot of the communication that you've been seeing, in a way, reflect. One is the customer is a lot of stuff happening. And on the other hand, you will also see that
sorry to interrupt you, sir.
We are continuing to push very strongly on the brand front. Mia and CaratLane continue to target a much younger audience, and both those brands are also doing pretty well. So Yes, at an overall level, we are aggressively investing in these brands, and we are seeing the good results. The customer feedback as well as our brand scores.
Understood, sir. I actually missed the last one statement. There is some bit of disturbance on when the last statement on Tanishq up, and then I could hear, Mia and CaratLane in sub-25, Young Upmaker, etc. If I may request, that one last statement on Tanishq, if you remember, if you could repeat, it will be helpful, sir.
Yeah. So as I said, Tanishq is continuing to push strongly on the progressiveness index. And we have a very wide target audience from 25 years to 55 years. Whereas in the case of Mia and CaratLane, they are targeting much younger audiences. And there too, we are pursuing, good brand investments and brand visibility. So overall, as a portfolio, we are investing strongly in all the brands, including Zoya, if I were to add that.
No, fair point. Fair point. Thank you, sir. And Ashok, one clarification with you, if I may. See, the 72 crores of ex-gratia, if I understood correctly, it's been called out, let's say as an exceptional or a one-off. I'm not going with accounting standard part of it. I'm just going by the, highlighting part of it. Now, when I... Basically, there are companies which I cover, which have historically had EVA-based model, etc. That means you meet a certain target, you get paid a variable accordingly. So my basic question is, why is it considered as a something not a normal, and why is it an exception or a one-off without getting the technicality of it? Because you're done well, you paid a bonus. It should be a normal line item, right? I'm sorry for my ignorance if I'm missing something here.
No, so what, let me give you something in this. One is that principle behind determination of amount is consistent over at least last decade or even more so, whenever Titan started. So that's consistent. But the determination of it only happens after the year ends, and there is a great achievement. So that is why you cannot be making provisions for this, etc. We never do. We just decide it at the end of the year when there is actually... good performance, and based on that determination, the principles which we apply, and that is why from accounting point of view, you find out, you will see that it is under the employee cost, but because you want to see also the quarter comparable to whatever you are looking at, that is why we have decided to tell you the amount.
And yeah. This is not part of the normal variable pay of the employee either.
So it is completely equitable in a democratic manner distributed to everyone.
Okay. So I'll take it offline, sir. Thank you. No, it's not material to take the time in the call. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Vora from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. First question, Titan has recently acquired a stake in Lab-Made Diamond Company. While it's a small investment, can you share your thoughts on Lab-Made Diamonds in the context of Indian market?
Thank you, Kunal, for that question. In the last many years, there has been very little conversation that we have heard or seen in the stores relating to lab-grown diamonds. Because the desire for natural diamonds in the Indian middle class is so high that for the next many, many years, given the kind of affluence that's waiting to happen, they're very confident that the power of the natural diamonds will continue to exist, especially given the penetration of natural diamonds in the Indian households. However, in the U.S. particularly, the share of natural diamonds, household penetration of natural diamonds is very, very high, especially because of the work done by De Beers over the last six or seven decades. And so on the one hand, the natural diamond penetration is very high. On the other, the subject of sustainability is at a greater level of consciousness in the Western countries, especially in the U.S. And the Gen Z and to some extent the millennial are looking at options, and therefore the traction of lab-grown diamond jewelry in the U.S. particularly is quite strong. And we wanted to, given our international ambitions on the one hand, and given the fact that sometime in the future, maybe distant, but nevertheless in the future, the Gen Z of India will also start looking for these kind of things,
we wanted to dip our feet in the pool and be ready when the time comes. So that's the background.
Sure. But how large would the contribution be in India? Will it be in single digits now or is it larger?
In India, we can't even perceive it.
Not okay. That low. It will be less than single digits, maybe fraction. Very, very early days. Even in volumes, I would say it would be less than single digits. So,
it will be less than 0.1% also. Maybe it will be 0.01%. It will be like that.
Understood. Okay. So it's very, very insignificant. Okay. Second and last question. We've seen some moderation in growth across categories this quarter compared to last. So, like, while I understand the Omicron, do you think the pent-up demand played out earlier this year and because of that we are seeing some moderation? And also, how would you gauge your performance in April to June quarter considering that the last 2 years' days are really, really, it's very small. So, what's a good way to look at your April to June performance?
Going back to the first part, I think what affects demand is not just the real things which are around you, like Omicron is a real thing, but also what is the news that you are, you know, reading and seeing and listening to all around you in newspapers, through WhatsApp shares, through other kinds of social media posts and all that, which makes you, you know, feel it's not a great time in general, and that overall depresses demand. And that is at the backdrop of our quarter four performance. And we've always maintained that we are not a company which is looking so obsessively at every quarter. We are looking at it at a 1 year and more than 1 year kind of time horizon, because real value creation in any enterprise happens in that kind of time frame. So from that time frame point of view, the manner in which the country is poised on multiple accounts for growth, especially in the segments where Titan Company plays, and our overall competitive advantage, which we have built over so many years and we have substantially sharpened in the last 2 years, gives us a lot of confidence about FY23. Our ambitions for FY23 were set in that context. Our performance in April, without getting into detail, confirms that confidence, I mean ambition, and prepares us really well for the thrust in the next 11 months. I was not completely clear about your second part of the question about...
Yeah, second part of the question was that, basically, how are you looking at this April, May, June? Because if I look at the last 2 years, April, May, June were disrupted. I mean, like, they were not really clean numbers.
Our reference is not FY21 Q1 or FY20 Q1. FY22 Q1 or FY20 Q1. Our reference is the market opportunity there. And to some extent, the FY20 base. And that's those are the principles that we've used in setting our ambitious target for FY23. And we're running to that team.
Okay. Understood. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Asha from AS Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So as the previous participant asked about lab-grown diamonds, I wanted to pick your brains on the same subject. So you said that in India, it's a very low proportion as compared to natural diamonds. But if you start advertising, if you start putting more marketing efforts into it, don't you think that will create a lot of awareness, just the way you mentioned that DBOs did over the past 6-7 decades for natural diamond in Western market? And they also have a sister concern by the name of Lightbox, which they run in US. So why can't we have it in India also? Like a sister concern company dealing into lab-grown diamonds in India.
The reason why De Beers created Lightbox is because the natural diamond penetration in the US is at such a high level, and the demand for sustainable materials across categories is rising in that country. So the Lightbox rationale is sitting in that. The natural diamond contribution in annual sales as well as the total penetration in India is so low. And this is a very directly middle-class aspirational item, as it has been shown even in China over the last couple of decades. So the opportunity for natural diamond jewelry in India is so large that we have no plans at all to get into that in such a big way. But it is the point that you're saying that wouldn't there be a small opportunity that Titan Company can capitalize on? Of course. And at the right time, I'm sure the jewelry division would look at that. And in a way, the investment in Great Heights is also to build the overall understanding capability in these areas so that as and when we believe it is time for us to act, we're able to act more effectively than otherwise.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Kumar Doshi from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just a quick bookkeeping question. What was the ratio of net sales to UCP in FY22? If you can give us some sense.
For the company level, because for every business it is separate and...
Company level, standalone jewelry, so excluding CaratLane.
Come again?
Standalone jewelry segment.
That is 90%, 89-90%, that's the number. So we didn't see any variation, Jay, on that. It's almost at the similar level what it was in the previous year.
Over the last 3-4 years, so net sales to UCP has not changed.
Half a percentage here and there, quarter and quarter can happen, but nothing much.
Thank you so much. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Goyal from SBI Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
On the recent news items, so mentioning some increase in the making charges, are we having some increase in cost or is it some deliberate effect, something which is done to compensate either on the cost part or after making gold attractive rates? How does this work?
I don't think, this is Ajay here. I don't know where you picked it up from, but we have not taken any increase in making charges in the domestic business at all. So, I don't know about this. And
also, when we do that, I don't think we will use a press note on this.
No, obviously, sir, this is why I was trying to understand. No worries. Okay. When this is not done, then there's nothing to move ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Jay Gandhi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask you one thing, sir. So if I see the inventory, there's been a 3,000 crore jump over 6 months, around 5,000 crore over the year. But the gold on lease hasn't really moved as much. So I just want to understand if my reading is correct, that in FY23, we may be choosing a more expensive route to acquire customers. In other words, the gold on lease or the fresh purchases may be lower versus gold exchange given the inflationary period.
So next year, Jay, of course, gold on lease can go up. And now, you know, so there is no deliberate attempt. Every time when there are opportunities, between GOL, spot, and GPTP focus will continue. I don't think we are going to dilute that. That's a great customer acquisition tool for us, and that will continue. But beyond that, whether we buy spot or whether we go GOL, that's a continuous theme on the economics of that, and that is how we decide. But our preference for GOL has not at all diminished. That much I can tell.
We had a lot of repayments in GOL in the current year because the previous year it went up significantly on account of inventory recall, melting, etc. to manage the working capital, and therefore you're probably seeing this fluctuation year on year. Compare it to maybe 2 years back, etc. It's pretty much comparable.
So if I have to just ask you, in FY22 overall, the GOL exchange and spot buying would be what percentage of the sourcing? I'm sorry if I missed this question before.
GOL typically would be around the range of 50% in terms of kgs, spot buying will be much, much smaller. The exchange, etc., would work out to about 40%. Between exchange and there's outright also, we purchase some jewelry directly from vendors. That also has a gold component. So GOL is between that 50 to 60% range, typically. And that is what you will see also in the month of, in the year of FY22. I don't know if you're asking for FY22 or
FY22.
So it's right. Broadly in that range.
Right. And sir, just one last thing, if I may squeeze in, and forgive me if it's a naive question, but on this hallmarking thing, now if everyone has to hallmark, right, the key issue in the industry was, and this was probably a tailwind for you, is the trust deficit. Now, this worked in your favor over the decades. But if everyone hallmarks, the trust deficit gets solved for, then how does this help the organized folks?
Yeah, a very good question, Jay. You know, we started, the Punish Brand started in 1996. It's 26 years now. And if you look at the purity of the gold that we buy, the other jewelers, jewelry that we buy from customers, the purity has, even, I'm sure if you were to look at yesterday's purity, it is still in the 19.75 carats. As opposed to the 22 that it is supposed to be. So in 26 years, the purity stock of customers has not dramatically, it has improved, but it has not dramatically improved, which means when the hallmarking happens, all the jewelry, and that 2 carat is about 8% in terms of value, and that represents 8% making charge difference that there's something about they were to remain the same place when it comes to their own margins. Which means if they hallmark, they have to raise their prices, and in which case the competitive situation will dramatically change. That is the...
So that is the only plus that we have. They may get less competitive. Is the only argument.
Jay, I didn't get your response. There was a lot of disturbance.
I was saying that because they become less competitive to the extent of what, 7-8%, that seems to be the only argument for this, for it to be working for organized, right? I mean, I was actually hoping that you would shut me up by saying you need to buy more Tanishq to understand what the difference is.
But isn't an 8% making charge difference a very important argument?
No, in the sense that, see, anyway, if you look at the gold rates in Tanishq stores or any other jeweler, there is a certain premium you charge on gold rates also, which obviously is almost absent in some unorganized folks. Now, you already enjoy a certain premium there.
Possible.
I understand that they may get less competitive with time, but that's a one-time thing. I mean, people do eventually get over,
No, it will be a daily. It will not be a one-time thing. For me to continue to offer 22 carat every day, when I was offering 20 carats every day earlier,
right.
It's a daily thing that for me to operate my business with a certain gross margin that I should get, for me to be viable, I'll have to raise my prices. That's the point I make.
Fair point, sir. Fair. I'm done here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Rangnekar from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. And just one question from my end. On the jewelry business margins, you did call out the staff cost related one-offs. So even if we maybe adjust for that, it seems like there's a sequential drop in margins. So can you provide some context to that, considering that probably the storage share has also increased versus third quarter, and probably there is an inventory gain that you alluded in diamonds that you alluded to last quarter also. Thanks.
So if you exclude the one-times, the EBIT margin for jewelry in quarter four stands at around 13.1%. And I remember mentioning even in the last earnings call that in quarter three, we had an exceptionally high benefit on many counts. And therefore, those margins of EBIT margins of 13.5%, 14% are not something which we could expect, because we were planning to continue to invest back in the brand and in certain other areas, for the business. And we had clearly indicated that on a stable run, it is going to be between 12 to 13%, maybe tending closer towards 13%. Having said that, quarter four is a one quarter which had certain costs which we have consciously taken in. We also wanted freshness in merchandise, so we start the year well. We've invested something a little bit more in IT. We've had a few, meets for our frontline staff, etc., to kind of thank them for the exceptional work done over the last couple of years. We have met some of our sales team so that they are all primed and energized. So, first of all, I don't think the EBIT margin is anything to be worried about. It's quite good and healthy. At the same time, yes, there are some costs which are there in Q4, which may or may not repeat extensively in the remaining quarters.
Got it. Thank you for the clarity.
Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardesi from Centrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm really sorry joining the call late. So pardon me for the repetitive questions. Have you said anything qualitatively how the US and GCC market forays? I mean, I do pick up from the press release saying that you have done fun pilot or very soon we are getting it. So maybe in the medium term, next 2 to 3 years, how we are going to develop or when we should look at this business?
Actually, Shirish, if you can wait just for 1 week, next Friday is our investor conference and
sure.
I will be talking about sure. this. To some extent of detail
sure.
at that.
Sure. Sure, Sudhya. My second question is on the eyewear. I mean, last 10 quarters, if I put numbers together, our estimates versus the delivery, there is a lot of volatility. I mean, last on call also, I asked this question. When do we see a steady state growth and margin delivery for this business? I mean, is it that another 2 quarters we'll have to wait or maybe 4 quarters we'll have to wait?
Actually, if you exclude the quarter one of FY22 as well as the quarter one of FY21, you would see almost 3+3, 6 steady quarters. PBT margin ranging between, I think, 15% to 20%. Okay. Quarter four this year, as I said, sale was affected because of Omicron in the month of January. And in the month of March, we needed to make certain correction to clean up some of our channel, especially the distribution channel. Apart from the fact that we had some one-off expenses, like it was explained by Ashok, there was a large expenditure of what we do once in 2 years. We did in this case after 3 years for a business associate meet. If you actually adjust for all these things, quarter four PBT, EBIT would have been in the ballpark of 15 to 18 crore. Just to sort of give you a sense of, so it was not sure. significantly different than the last 3+3, 6 quarter. And so we are not seeing that as a really an aberration. It is a bit of a correction that we did. And if you look at just what happened in the month of April, it just reinforces that we are just on the right track.
Sure. My next question to Ashok ji, in FY22, could you quantify what is the saving in terms of numbers? We got it on Warren Best.
No. So Warren Waste program, which was run last year, where we were doing quantification, and we had at that point of time said that there are certain items which got induced because of the environment, you know, like travel, power, etc. And there were certain things which were ingrained into our business processes which are sustained now. So they have become part of thing and now we are not calling them out separately. And the natural savings have almost disappeared because you see all the activity and velocity of travel in quarter four particularly. And we also took that opportunity to travel a lot and meet people. So, but the other process part of it are sustaining and we are not now anymore calling them out.
That's really helpful, Ashokji. But one follow-up on here, we have done the hedging in. Now, I'm sure 2 quarters has gone in. Related to this hedging, would you think there is some more savings which can extract because of the quantum and the demand situation?
So hedging change which we did was basically to remove volatility because we were on cash flow, and cash flows were becoming unpredictable because of the COVID induced lockdowns, etc. And we moved to fair value of inventory hedging, because inventory and gold is far more certain and far more this thing. And that is what is giving result, that now you don't see any kind of volatility we are pointing out in our P&L because of gold hedging. Hedging is just to insulate us from price risk. Idea is not to make money out of that.
Okay. Okay. Ashwati, my last question pertaining to this VRS and the ex gratia charge which has come. So this is fully charged for FY22, or is there anything which is which will flow to in FY23?
FY22, everything has been taken care of. All the future liability on account of VRS have already been accounted for. So there is no sure. further charge coming in either quarter one or FY23.
Thank you. Thank you, the team, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kanodia from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. The first question is in terms of inventory gain on diamonds. So last time you called out that there was one-off, and you know there was some flow through in 4Q as well. So can you please quantify what was the impact of that you know inventory gain on diamond? And the second question is on ingot sales. So again, in 4Q, there was you know some ingot sales of around 375 crores. So what led to that?
Hi, Ajay here. The total in let's say benefit on account of diamond related price increases and inventory gains in the second half of the year is about 190 crores in the previous fiscal. Okay, so it's split between quarter three and quarter four. It was, I think, about 60 odd crores or something like that in quarter three and some balance in quarter four. In terms of gold sale, we try to see some amount of optimization on gold on lease. You know, it was a question which came earlier on. And we also look at our inventory position and cash flows. We do some amount of optimization. And based on, of course, how much exchange gold has come, we try to only sell out of the exchange gold so that you can, you know, try and make some optimization. So that happens from quarter to quarter basis an internal conversation on how to optimize.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. And last question is, you know, I think for a couple of quarters, we have been trying to try new initiative in the southern markets and in some of the Bharat markets as well. So in that context, you know, our channel check suggests that you're also trying to implement maybe, you know, Pan India's similar gold price, right? So from a gross margin perspective or from an EBIT margin perspective on the jewelry business, you know, are we seeing some impact from that perspective as well, that, you know, when you maybe focus more on southern markets or in some of the Bharat markets, there is higher discounting or higher marketing, and because of which, you know, the margins are kind of taking some hit?
Yeah, so let's put it this way. The geographic mix has an impact on the gross margin. And you are right that as we increase our contribution from southern markets, there is a some amount of dilution in the gross margin of the business. On Bharat markets, we don't see that much of an impact on gross margin. But yes, marketing investments, yeah, but the marketing investment is not that material when you look at the overall NSV of the jewelry business. It may be to the extent of 0.1, 0.2% here and there. So, but as we had mentioned even in the previous earnings call, and we continue to mention that there is intense competitive intensity in the jewelry market, because all organized players are seeking to expand. There is gold rate related activities. While we haven't taken any call on whether we will have a single gold rate or no, but we are being competitive in different markets, and we are certainly going for aggressive market share gain. Therefore, the investments that we continue to make, either in the form of gold rate or offers or marketing spends, or even the kind of product mix that we are willing to supply as we try to maximize the opportunity in every geography, will, in a way, therefore, have a slight dilutive effect on the margin. But the overall operating leverage because of the growth in the top line that we get will more than offset it. So to that extent, these two will keep kind of balancing each other out, and therefore the guidance that, or not guidance, the indication that we had given, that we will operate within this 12 to 13%, ending close to 13%. Yeah, so
sure.
Operating leverage vis-a-vis other initiatives that we are planning to invest to continue growth.
Sure. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. C.K. Venkataraman for closing comments.
Thank you very much, everyone on the call. Very, very exciting quarter and a whole new exciting year ahead of us. As always, all of you asking the right questions, probing questions, to make us reflect on everything we do and continuously strive for an improving financial performance. Thank you, and see you next week, most of you.
Thank you. On behalf of Titan Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.